Picture a garden in ancient Athens where women and men studied together as equals, where pleasure wasn't sinful but sacred, and where the universe needed no creator because atoms themselves were eternal. This wasn't fantasy. It was Epicurus's garden, a philosophical school so threatening to later religious authorities that they spent centuries distorting its message. Today, we associate Epicurean with expensive wine and gourmet cheese, but the real philosophy offers something far more radical, a complete framework for understanding reality and finding genuine contentment without gods, without afterlives, and without the anxiety that both produce. At a time when mental health crises escalate and our planet groans under endless consumption, this 2,300-year-old worldview feels startlingly relevant. What if everything you've been taught about pleasure, meaning, and mortality has been backwards? Long before modern physics, Epicurean philosophers proposed that everything, your coffee cup, your anxious thoughts, your lover's smile, consists of tiny, indestructible particles moving through empty space. These temporary arrangements will eventually dissolve. Rather than attributing permanence to gods, they argued for eternal, uncreated atoms combining and recombining in endless patterns. These ancient atoms were invisibly small, differently shaped particles moving unpredictably through the void. Given enough time, they form stable patterns, creating worlds that constantly emerge and dissolve. Though modern physics has refined this picture, the core insight remains. Nothing in your experience is permanent. This sounds depressing until you realize it's liberating. The Epicurean isn't shocked when the wine glass breaks or the relationship falters. Fragility is inherent in everything composed of atoms. Understanding impermanence helps us appreciate things more deeply while they last and distinguish between what we can control and what we can't. When you stop expecting permanence from inherently temporary arrangements, you stop setting yourself up for disappointment. The Epicureans controversially claimed consciousness emerges entirely from physical processes, no immortal soul required. They proposed that mobile soul atoms pervade the body, creating thought and feeling. Lucretius observed how wine affects thinking, epilepsy disturbs the spirit, and at death, soul particles escape like evaporated perfume. Most humans resist this idea, preferring belief in an indestructible soul. Yet modern Epicureans maintain consciousness emerges from molecules and atoms arranged in living bodies. Death permanently ends individual experience, though our particles may eventually form part of other organisms. You might literally become part of a tree or bird. Consciousness appears widely distributed in nature. Mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, cephalopods, possibly even insects demonstrate awareness of their sensory worlds. Consider a conscious mouse. It accomplishes what would require impossibly complex engineering in an unconscious machine. Its ability to experience the world, recognize places, and feel emotions provides competitive advantages that would demand tremendous bulk to replicate mechanically. This naturalistic understanding doesn't diminish wonder. It heightens appreciation for thought emerging from matter. Long before Darwin, Epicureans grasped natural selection. Atomic combinations formed animals by chance, with survival-enhancing features persisting. Eyes weren't created for seeing. Seeing emerged because eyes evolved. Ridiculed for centuries, they proved remarkably prescient. Lucretius explored humanity's journey from primitive life to civilization with profound insights. Ancient humans lived tougher lives, yet enjoyed freedoms and equalities lost later. While many died from beasts or wounds, they never experienced warfare's mass casualties. Inequality began with metal discovery. Copper, gold, and iron brought agricultural slavery, class divisions, and brutal conquest. Metal plows enabled vast fields and stored grain, widening the gap as some forced others to work for them. Eventually, people created laws and magistrates, suppressing criminality, but enabling parasitic upper classes who never ceased to labor vainly and fruitlessly, consuming their lives in groundless cares. For Epicureans, political authority exists not in nature, but by convention, through human acquiescence. This challenged assumptions that authority was predetermined. Recovering these concepts of justice as agreement to avoid mutual harm influenced the transformation from feudal to commercial societies based on contracts between equals. The lesson remains urgent. While civilization offers wonderful goods, unchecked wealth and ambition inevitably lead to exploitation and corruption. There is no cosmic plan preventing our mistakes, only our own vigilance and choices. Ethics concerns what to pursue and avoid. Epicureans ground this in nature. We naturally seek pleasure and avoid pain. This contradicts Western philosophy from Plato to Kant, which typically denigrated pleasure as base or dangerous. Authentic Epicureanism isn't mindless gratification. It's about prudential choices, considering long-term consequences. Dental cleanings exemplify enduring minor pains to prevent greater suffering. Yet one can be too future-oriented. Sometimes a hangover is worth a fantastic evening, though addiction never justifies repeated indulgence. Popular hedonism, bubble baths, champagne brunches, massages, reflect consumerism, not Epicurean ethics. Advertising sells gendered versions. Female hedonism involves home retreats and budget self-pampering. Male hedonism features exotic travel and expensive accessories. Commercial pleasure requires escaping reality rather than integrating sensory engagement into everyday life. Authentic Epicureanism encourages unapologetic sensualism woven into daily existence. Small workplace gestures, fruit bowls, reasonable email boundaries create pleasant atmospheres. If your job brings little satisfaction, consider whether shorter hours might improve life quality. While Epicureans value prudence, excessive caution can be as problematic as impulsivity. Sometimes spontaneous decisions, eloping, or making an immediate house offer bring immense satisfaction. The Epicurean approach is empirical and balanced. Investigate risks, consider preferences, make informed choices. Epicurean philosophy centers on two types of limits: natural limits to lives and relationships that we should protect from untimely ends, and moral limits on consumption and exploitation that we often fail to observe. Accepting these boundaries reduces fear while allowing ample enjoyment within them. Epicureanism recognizes pleasure as the only good and pain as the only evil. The contemporary Epicurean aims to minimize harm, avoiding coercion, false promises, controlling behavior, or exploitation, contrasting with theological ethics and Stoicism's sometimes suffering-inducing virtues. Regarding intimate relations, the Epicurean school uniquely allowed women to join, promoted cross-gender friendship, and permitted women comparable sexual freedom, considered scandalous by opponents. Unlike traditions where gods dictated sexual morality, Epicureans viewed relationships through prudence and harm avoidance, recognizing that perfect lifelong monogamy is exceptional. Concerning death, Epicureans hold that being dead isn't unpleasant and there's no afterlife, yet being deprived of life is the worst thing that can happen. When we exist, death isn't present. When death is present, we don't exist to experience it. Accepting mortality gives perspective and encourages not postponing enjoyments. Western culture offers two conceptions of meaningful lives: worldly achievement and admiration, or moral spiritual service and sacrifice. The Epicurean accepts human capabilities create meaningfulness, but rejects more is better. History shows achievement often meant warfare and destruction, while excessive self-sacrifice distorts human life. The most satisfying activities replace ignorance with knowledge and bring order and beauty into the world. A meaningful Epicurean life doesn't require societal validation or heroic sacrifice. Human distinctiveness lies in our inventiveness and creativity, whether organizing a sock drawer or fixing a roof rack. What makes life meaningful is meeting self-set standards, caring for those you love, and being cared for in return. Many seek cosmological perspective for meaning, but humans aren't cosmically important. We inhabit one small planet among trillions of galaxies. Yet the Epicurean finds meaning in our capacity for philosophical reflection and participation in nature's cycles, understanding ourselves as part of an ancient, perhaps perpetual system. This perspective simultaneously diminishes us, revealing petty concerns as trivial, while enlarging us through awareness of our miraculous existence. Mindless atoms producing minds, blind forces creating purpose. When pessimism strikes, visiting museums helps restore faith in humanity, where we see the artist's desire to excel alongside their wish to give pleasure to others. In our age of anxiety and environmental crisis, Epicurean philosophy offers precisely the wisdom we need. Accept that everything is temporary and nothing is cosmically ordained. Find pleasure in simple, sustainable ways rather than through endless acquisition. Recognize that morality exists to minimize harm, not to please invisible judges. This life is your only life, making it infinitely precious, not just yours, but everyone else's too. The universe doesn't care about you, but that's exactly why you should care about each other.